Well, happy Thursday and welcome here to another edition of Husker Online Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, are brought to you by the presenting sponsor of StayHome.care. We'll tell you more about them here in the show, but we're also brought to you off the top by Cranium. I was just in Fremont, actually, the home of Cranium, the capital of Cranium, so to speak.
And capital of Cranium is Fremont, Nebraska.
And it has gone worldwide. They are everywhere now. Built by two Nebraskans out of Fremont, lifelong Husker fans. We're drinking the new flavor right now, the strawberries and cream. But
it's really good.
You can buy Cranium, obviously, online, but it's in Hy-Vee. It's in select U-Stops. It's in Mega Savers. They are distributing now Cranium all over when you look at all the things. And is that Sat Brothers as well? So you don't have to order it online. You can find it at some of your favorite places. Or you can buy it online if you don't live in the area and use the promo code Husker Online, 10% off plus free shipping. You can use that code unlimited times. It's loaded with nootropics, keeps you focused, keeps you locked in. I know my game day morning is going to include a Cranium.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you going to stop at Sat Brothers?
Well, I'm going to get one in the office.
Yeah.
On game day morning.
Sat Brothers, though, huh?
Yes, sir.
Hello. I might have to stop up and get one, too, actually. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, this is good. This reminds me of Shasta from Boyhood.
Back in the day.
And Columbus.
Well, let's talk ball, Coach.
Okay, Coach Self.
Let's talk ball, Coach Self. Let's get into headline number one. The season opener is here. So much to look at, so much to talk about, and it's almost kind of like a unknown a little bit going into this game. You don't really know like you couldn't really project who the leading rusher is going to be. You can't really project who the leading receiver is going to be.
You can project it, but not with much confidence.
You can't really guess who's going to have the most sacks.
Gilmer, leading receiver, Rule, leading rusher, sacks, Whittington. 1.5. Those are just, but no, you're right. The point is, you're right.
Like, who's going to get the first carry?
And I don't know.
I've heard every, but the latest I said, don't be surprised if it's Nelson.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if the first play has Nelson and Mosey on the field together.
Okay.
I mean, I've heard lots of things like that. So,
yeah, no, you're right. There's a lot we don't know. Wow. Wow.
But you know what you do want to look at is like the offensive line. Are they getting that push early in the game? Like, are they getting downhill where you know that's going to lead to kind of taking over the game at some point? Or is it a struggle? I mean, I want to see what Jeep Wade's opening line looks like.
Veteran. I mean, that Ohio, you know what? Marty Bannister, their play-by-play guy, was on our morning show. They like their defense. They like that. Hey, Sean, they like that front seven. They like the depth. It. You're right. Does Nebraska move the line of scrimmage? Operationally, how are they? Is it clean? Doesn't matter who you're playing. The operation evaluation doesn't depend on opponent. It just, are you operating cleanly? Plays in. Do guys look confused? Are there palms up? Are there clock issues? Crap. Just stuff you don't want to see. Especially with a fourth year coach and a veteran roster.
And what does the Anthony Calandria diet look like?
What regard there?
I mean, just what are they going to give him? Mm-hmm. Like, how much are they going to put on him? Uh-huh. I mean, how conservative or how open are they going to be with what he does?
That's really interesting. See, I hope people understand when we say there's a lot we don't know. It doesn't, like, we know the personnel because a depth chart came out Monday. We already had a pretty good feel for it. There's just a lot of things like that we don't know. What's the offense going to look like? We don't really know that.
We don't even know what jerseys guys are going to be wearing because of the changing of jersey numbers.
Yeah.
How would you like to be Ohio going into this game?
Be a nightmare.
There's could be 12, 13 guys in different jerseys.
Yeah, and that's probably why Rule's waiting, right? Seriously. It gives you an edge, for sure.
The depth chart release was kind of a surprise to me, but actually it might confuse Ohio because they're going to like line up the pieces based on the jersey numbers in the depth chart, but then the jersey numbers are going to change.
Right. If I were John Hauser, their head coach, I would have someone assigned early that day. Get these jerseys. We have to get this to the guys. you know,
because a lot of what you call out when you match personnel is based on the jersey numbers you're seeing coming on and off the field.
Right. So an example, we know Mekhi Nelson, I kept saying the other day, 35, and I was told, no, he's 13 now. He's 13. He's no longer 35. He's number 13. That's an example. There's going to be changes. And then, of course, there's the single digit stuff.
Wait, was an Isaiah Hunter a single digit last year? Now I need to, because I thought he was 13 when he first came in. So,
well, Mekhi's wearing 13 this year.
Yeah. So that, well, that tells you that Isaiah Hunter is switching jerseys, because Isaiah Hunter was a 13 last year. He Good wore 13.
Point. So he's probably a single digit guy.
So he's going to move to a single, which is not a surprise. No. I wouldn't be surprised if Kwazi Gilmore got one. So, and we're going to talk more about some of that stuff in the show, but defensively too, what does the Rob Orich opening outing look like? How aggressive are they? You know what blows my mind? Take a guess, and you might have already read my story from this morning, but what was the most sacks Nebraska had in one game last year?
Well, since you're asking, it must be a low number.
It's low.
What?
It was low.
2.5.
For a whole game.
What was it? Four.
I mean, that... In the history of Nebraska football, that might be the lowest high
for him
in a year.
Four.
I mean,
simple. They have a stationary quarterback.
You thought their high in a game was 2.5 last year?
I don't know. I mean,
four. They're 23 on the season.
Yeah. Four's not that much more than 2.5.
But
anyway.
2.5 is startlingly low.
They have a very stationary quarterback.
Can probably they get 4 or 5 sacks?
So. Probably gets it out fast, is my guess. Now, remember, Roy Manning played down that sack stat. He said, I haven't even talked about it with the guys. It's not about sacks. And the rule said, no, we want sacks. I mean, I'm not saying they were at odds, but Roy Manning was deep into camp, and he said, we're not really talking about sacks. We're talking about the way we rush the passer and condensing and crushing the pocket. It's more about that.
They had 6 games last year with 0 or 1 sack. 6 games. They had a couple goose egg games last year. Mm. So that is one area that has to turn over. Like, you are not going to win more than 5, 6, 7 games with 23 sacks.
So, yeah, they got something to watch tomorrow.
To get to that 8-9 mark, which in the Big Ten now is a significant leap, you've got to produce more at the four-man front. And can they do that with this new scheme? How attacking will they be?
I don't know. I never get into the discussion of, are they going to withhold a bunch of stuff? No, like, this isn't Ohio State we're talking about. It's Nebraska. I mean, how much can they withhold?
No, they can't withhold. I mean, this is a team that's won 9 to 11 games the last 4 years.
Right. I hate it when, not you, but when people talk like that, well, do you think they're show their hand? What do you mean? I mean, they got to do what they got to do to win.
They got to learn their team.
Right.
They got to develop confidence and swagger and momentum. I mean, that's, if you schedule like this, that's what you got to do. Like, if you're going to play like 3 bye games where you're essentially paying to win the game, like, you know, you've got to be able to
do what,
you know, get some momentum out of these games.
100%.
To play a lot of players, develop a lot of guys.
Right. Play well.
Can this defense force more turnovers too? Like, what will that look like? Because Ohio is really, you know, weak on the offensive side as far as what they return.
Again, I hate to make declarative statements because you don't really know their personnel.
Well, they don't have a lot. They don't have proven production.
No.
Like, that's what I'm getting at. Proven production.
Yeah.
I'm not making statements.
They don't have, like, what I'm saying, Sean, is listen to me. They don't. You would say, well, Sip, they don't even have a returning starter on the offensive line. Well, Nebraska has 3 new ones, but we're saying they're good.
But they were starters at Power Fours.
Yeah, but maybe those guys are really good. We just don't know it. You know, I'm not going to let you say, well, Nebraska gets the benefit of the doubt and Ohio doesn't. Come on.
Well, man, the players that Nebraska got cost a lot more money than the players Ohio got. You can't deny that. I mean, in this era of college football,
But anyway. I'm not going to make declarative statements about Ohio. I don't feel comfortable sitting here and saying Ohio's offense is bad. I don't know. I mean, it's not proven, but we'll see.
And they had good success against Calandria, and they're not going to change what they do. I mean, they're going to
probably not.
They're going to kind of, and we'll talk more about that in our next headline, but there's a lot there. you know, the special teams angle as well. Like, what does that look like with Brett Maher?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the coverage schemes and some of the things they did last year, like how much will that look similar? And
will you be able to tell?
No.
No, nor will I. Coverage schemes.
I mean, everyone acts like, I mean, the special teams problems Nebraska has had, a lot of it were snapping,
right?
Punters, kickers, mm-hmm. missing kicks, or right. not even having a kicker that could make a kick or take a kick. It's, you know, that those have been the big issues in the last several years where there have been issues. Mm-hmm.
But they got a kicker.
You know, fielding punts, as we know, had been an issue too.
You feel pretty good about the kicker, right? Kunan in 18 of 22 last year. You feel good about Ja'Cory Barney as a punt returner. You probably feel pretty good about Mosey and Isaiah Hunter as kickoff returners. Feel good about Archie, right? Do you?
Archie, oh yeah.
Feel good about the snapper.
Archie needs to get better, though. I think he had kind of a freshman year last year. And now let's see what kind of jump he makes.
That's something to watch. They have to punt. And the snapper. When they have snap issues like they did 2 years ago, holy God, Sean. Think about this 2 years ago, what we were watching.
At Purdue, I think they had two or three, like, skip the ground.
Right. That was, but then you start, you know, like everybody will always say, as long as the snapper's good, the holder's good, the kicker's and the punter's good, you're usually okay, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a good snapper and a good holder, like, field goals are pretty hard to block.
Because
the ball gets so high off the ground on a kick. I mean, you have to really have a breakdown up front, and that's hard to do.
Jack Wills.
Comes in as a pretty good portal addition.
Yeah, then they have Camden Cook, who I think Rule says is like the best holder he's ever seen. Camden Cook, Sam's boy.
And I've seen Sam on the sidelines. He's in Minneapolis. He comes back to most of the games. Low profile. The old super, I mean, he walked into the super saver analogy. I don't think you'd even know it, Sam, because he just keeps
it very
low profile.
God, that's embarrassing. I don't think I would. I don't think I would recognize him.
What's embarrassing to me is Sam Cook's son, Camden. I can remember at the Alamo Bowl, I think it would have been the 03 Alamo Bowl.
Yeah.
He was holding his kid. He had kids. He was holding Camden.
Holding Camden.
In his arms.
Now Camden's a holder.
Now he's a holder. So, all right. Well, let's get into headline two. Before we do that, Husker on the Headlines, brought to you by the presenting sponsor of stayhome.care. Let me ask you something. Is there someone in your family you worry about when you're not with them? Maybe you wonder if they've eaten, whether they're safe, or if they're feeling lonely and need someone around. Most families try to handle everything themselves while also working, raising children, and managing their own lives. But loving someone doesn't mean you have to do everything alone. That's where stayhome.care can help you. They provide companionship. They help prepare meals, run errands. They complete household tasks, assist with personal care, or simply just having someone dependable there when your family can't. And sometimes that person who needs stayhome.care the most is the family caregiver, the son, the daughter, the spouse, a parent who loves that person but is being overwhelmed with everything in their own lives. And you've dealt with this before.
Oh, yeah. We all do.
And you got family that you want to be there for, but you can't just stop your life. And that's where stayhome.care comes in. Call them at 402-205-222-2233. Check them out at the website, stayhome.care. That's .care, not .com. Again, 402-205-2233. Your home, our care. stayhome.care. All right, let's get into headline number two. What to make of Calandria's last meeting versus Ohio in December? And, you know, it was a game that I think off the cusp, you know, with Ohio's coaching issues, with their head coach being fired, with Dan Mullen having kind of an established track record, Calandria playing, I think most people would have assumed that Ohio would win that bowl game. It was in Frisco, Texas, the Frisco Scooters Coffee Bowl, and Ohio won that game. Calandria was bottled up for the most part in that ball game.
He was bottled up. It's John Hauser. John Hauser was the defensive coordinator. He's the head coach now. I mean, I would think the plan, I don't think they wadded up the plan and threw it away, right?
They have a good feel for what Calandria can do.
And they like their defense. They like their safety. DJ, now see, you watch this, Sean. They love their safety, DJ Walker. Why is that? Why is your antenna go up? Because
interceptions.
Yeah, because he's been interception prone, Calandria. Also, you like Ike Ackerman, who I think will play a lot for
him. Yeah, he's talking to somebody close to Ackerman, like he's projected to start.
as a rush end
and
defensive end.
Second year player,
Omaha Central.
Omaha Central, three sport athlete.
You like him?
Yeah, he's essentially runner up for athlete of the year behind Tyson Terry. And you could argue like he was equally as impressive overall as an athlete as Tyson Terry was as a senior, winning the state shot put record, breaking a record that had stood since the early 80s.
6'4", 255.
Led the state in sacks.
Yeah. So against Ohio U, it was against Calandria last year, Ohio U, it was constant pressure. You know, I don't know what they got defensively, if they can do that. They do, again, they like their depth up front. Sean, Ohio's a proud football program. They're not coming in here. Like, I'm very resistant to this, like, I'm not going to do the thing where poor Ohio coming in here. I would be careful with that.
In fact, I kind of think the line's high.
Do you?
Well, how many times has Ohio been like a 24-point type dog? Not often.
There, you know what? We talk about the heat. Oh, poor Ohio. You know, Marty Bannister, their guy, their play-by-play. Like I said, he kind of brushed it off. Like, it's hot in Athens. They're practicing 98-degree heat. That's not a factor. Like,
now they're going to be on that sideline though, where the sun beats on you. And
so the West,
no, the East.
Oh, they're in the East. Yeah. Well, it beats both on you kind of.
No, the sun starts shooting straight. I mean, it's the sideline that Nebraska was on for the Michigan game when it was 98 degrees. And Jim Harbaugh said in Rule, it's like, why the hell are you on this sideline?
Cause
like,
it's so hot.
And so then they switched it. So Ohio will be on like the grill basically.
Yeah. I mean,
they're going to be just getting cooked.
So that, yeah. I mean, I know if I was a head coach, I'd be kind of mindful of it without being overly. I mean, both teams are playing in heat, right? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say Nebraska's got a big advantage because of the heat, except you'd think they have better depth.
Yeah, there's so many more better resources to take care of your team. I mean, they have those like shaded, like cover things that shoot mist and the cool benches and all the drinks and things that you can have. I mean, it is what it is. It's hot. No one's going to say it's not.
Right.
But they're prepared for it. But
right.
The depth, Nebraska has a depth advantage.
For sure. You would think. For sure. Yeah.
But Calandria, like, you just wonder how much he's rewatched that game, or is it just throw it out the window?
I don't know. I think you'd want to meet it head on. I would. Just don't run from it. This is what happened against them last year when I was playing for a different team. Now, Dana Holgorsen talked extensively about Calandria this week. And he said that Calandria is a different player now, and meaning he is still a gunslinger. You don't want to take that kind of swashbuckling, aggressive, chance-taking personality. You don't want to totally take it away from him. You just want him to make better, more mature decisions. And that's you'll be able to see that, Sean, in the press box. What kind of decision making is there from Nebraska's quarterback? We'll sit up there and we'll be able to see it immediately.
And we don't know this, but you wonder when they played that bowl game, like, did he kind of already have a foot out the door at that point?
No, he didn't. In fact, Marty Bannister said it was kind of odd because during the bowl press conference, he said he's coming back. I mean, he said he's coming back to UNLV. He told reporters that. Now, you could say maybe he was bluffing. I don't know why you'd do that, but Bannister was really surprised that he left because he sat there and listened to him say, no, I'm staying.
Well, they had a similar thing at UNLV with Jaden Maeva. Like he played in their bowl game and made it seem like he was coming back. Like Pete Nakos reported that he planned to leave, and then it led to like Barry Odom and some of those guys like kind of calling out Nakos' report. And then a couple days later, Maeva did leave.
You just wonder if those kids just don't have an idea of what they're about to get offered. Right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, their agents start fishing in the numbers, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to make – correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but I don't think he'd get $2 million at UNLV.
Well, and you remember
– would he get $2 million?
No. I mean, remember UNLV a couple years ago was about to have a shot to win the Mountain West, and they had that quarterback that they couldn't pay? And it was like,
right.
It was like $100,000.
Right. There was a problem.
Like they couldn't come up with $100,000 and the guy quit.
Right.
He just backed out of the, and then they got Calandria the next year.
Right. So maybe it was something like that. But anyway,
Yeah, you wonder like what he even got paid to go to UNLV because he had to find somewhere to go after Virginia.
This is really nice. It's a good storyline. It's just nice that we are on the cusp of this game. Like all these conversations get so much more meaningful right now.
It's been a long month. I mean, the fact that training camp, you know, it's over 30 days long now.
Yeah.
When you count game week, yeah. But 25 practices over 30 days or whatever it comes out to be.
It's long.
And it will change next year. I think it's going to go down to 21 practices. So they'll cut about a week out of it.
Yeah, that would help. Like Dana Holgorsen said this. He'd loved it. He said they were ready to play last week. I thought that was – I like hearing that from Dana. He said we were ready to play a game last week.
Well, it was 25 practices back when there used to even be two-a-days. So, like, you could have, like, that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or uh-huh. They would do, like, a Tuesday, Thursday. They would have, like, 5 two-a-days back in the day, and it would cut off 5 days. And when they got rid of 2 days, it just started camp 5 days earlier, which I don't know if that was the intent of it.
Like, I don't know.
But yeah, they're going to change that next year where you're going to start on week zero, which becomes week one, and there's going to be 4 less practices. So,
God, Sean, 11 a.m. Saturday, we'll be covering a game. Seems like a long time. It seems like a long off season.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take it to headline number 3. But before we do that, Husker Online Headlines brought to you by Game Time, and there's no better place to get your tickets than Game Time. I can tell you, I was looking for Ella Langley tickets for my wife and daughters for the October 30th concert in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. I searched every major broker and I wanted, you know, a quality seat that was reasonably priced. Mm-hmm. And the same seat on Game Time was significantly cheaper than all the other brokers. They tell you what the fees are right away. You know, I think I saved hundreds of dollars by buying off Game Time.
Good job. Seriously. I mean, that's hundreds of dollars matters to anybody.
I think we paid like a little over $200 a ticket. And this is a hot ticket. Like this is to be in the lower bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look at what these tickets are costing, I was like, wow, this is a heck of a deal.
Good job. I'm not joking.
But yeah, we have a deal. Download the Game Time app. And you'll be able to get 20% off or $20 off, with the code ON3. Again, go to the app, download that Game Time app on your phone, use the promo code ON3 to take advantage of that, and you'll get $20 off your first purchase with that promo code ON3. Again, download the Game Time app. Thanks to Game Time. And check it out for Husker tickets. It's going to be a great place to look. I'd imagine with the heat, there's going to be some good deals. And maybe you can upgrade yourself to a club seat so you can get that indoor-outdoor access.
Good God, that'd be good.
Maybe you can update yourself to a seat next to Sipple in the press box.
Yeah, that's not happening.
One thing I've learned, you don't bother Sipple in the press box.
Well, we can shift it back to the game right off that. You know how much we're going to be watching? I mean, so many elements of this team that we need to size up. It's kind of be kind of overstimulation. Like you got to be smart about what you're watching.
I do want to make sure I get my batteries in my headset to listen to the radio broadcast.
Yeah.
Kyle Crooks has been to every practice, so yeah. He will drop some good nuggets. Jay Moore is going to practices, so like those guys will have some good insight on the broadcast.
Jay Moore, the new color
starts
analyst.
Up on this weekend.
Jay Moore, Kyle Crooks, huge for us.
All right, headline 3. Frank Solich's impact on Nebraska and Ohio. Frank will be honored as a legend inductee into the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame. He's already a member of the Hall of Fame.
There you go. Yep.
But he's now a legend as well.
Yeah, he's now Frank was 58-19 as Nebraska's coach and then went to Ohio. And I would say, you can debate me on this. I think what he did at Ohio is what put him in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Well, I think about how that all played out. Like,
okay,
weeks after he was fired at Nebraska, Army, he nearly accepted.
Could have taken an Army job.
And in fact, they had a press release written up.
They did. You're right.
He was going to go to Army.
Good memory. Yeah, it was very close.
Kind of a freak show.
A little bit.
Because it got published for it.
Yeah, it was close. And then he sat out, right? He sat out a year?
He sat out 1 year.
Sat out a year. That's right.
And then that year he went out and watched like Pete Carroll and Dick Vermeil and Bob Stoops.
Yeah, went to Oklahoma. Yeah.
Went out and watched a number of coach's coach.
Yep.
And then got the Ohio opportunity. And I remember his first game, one of his first games there was on national TV. They played Pittsburgh. Dave Wannstedt was coaching Pittsburgh. And the game was in Athens, if I'm not mistaken. It was a Thursday night ESPN game. And they
beat Pitt.
And they beat Pitt.
Threw a big dart right away. And took that Ohio program to 11 bowls. Had a great, I mean, really, really turned it around.
Jimmy Burrow, his longtime defensive coordinator, the father of the great Joe Burrow, a former Husker Jimmy Burrow, told me when they first took the job there, and Jimmy was Frank's longtime defensive coordinator, the challenge was to get Ohio fans to stay past halftime because their band was so good that people would stay for the band performance and they would leave.
Great.
And that was what they were walking into. Right. And by the end of it, he turned Ohio into the most stable program in the MAC. Now, Frank never got that MAC championship.
Right.
He played for several, won multiple divisions,
yep.
won multiple bowl games.
Right.
Tim Albin did get the MAC title, though. He was able to capture that.
Frank's program, kind of, but Albin leading it.
And Albin took it over and won that. So, yeah, what he did at Ohio was very impressive. But when you think about Frank Soldier, so many memories to me. Number one, he was the first Husker ever on the cover of Sports Illustrated, 1965 Cotton Bowl. Mm-hmm. What he did as a recruiter, he opened up New Jersey.
Did a great job on the Seaboard.
He was able to get Mike Rozier, future Heisman winner, and Irving Fryer, eventual number one NFL draft pick. He was able to get Christian, Jason Peter, Doug Coleman. But then as a coach, he delivered Nebraska's last conference championship, 1999, against Texas. But that 0-1 year with Crouch, the Heisman year, the Black Flash 41 reverse play call, probably the best moment for Frank Solich. One of the best, if not the best moment.
Yep. Good job. Good memory. And the only other thing I would add, a couple things, running backs coach. He was a premier running backs coach. I mean, it defined much of his career, how good they were at that position and what a great running backs coach he was.
And he replaced Mike Corgan.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And then just the monumental task he had as the head coach replacing Tom Osborne. It was hard. He went 58-19. I'm going to keep driving that point home. He was 58-19, which is right now. I mean, we can't even fathom that. And it was a rough end, obviously. We don't need to talk about that, but it was about as rough as you get when you finish 9-3. Then your team actually goes and wins a bowl and you're 10-3. He wasn't part of that. Rough end. He coached under tough circumstances because they brought a guy in here to fire him, basically.
Well, and I would say the biggest thing in his era, the game of college football turned with the internet and recruiting. And people started to really follow like roster movement and recruiting.
About what years?
Early 2000s.
Yes, that's what I was.
So right when Frank was there, where when Osborne was the coach, you couldn't really follow like the roster movement and recruiting other than maybe the final days of signing day in February. And I think at that point there became a lot more of a microscope on the day-to-day aspects of the program. Mm-hmm. And that hurt Frank at times. Like people were critical of a recruit not coming or this or that. And that stuff had always happened, but Nebraska fans, that's why we have jobs, by the way. I mean, our website was at the forefront of starting to cover that
absolutely.
Stuff. But the era, the game of college football really turned during Frank's time at Nebraska.
I thought he handled it pretty well. Frank was, as you know, he's very detailed and he's very cautious. And very, I guess the better word's deliberate. To this day, he's very deliberate. In retirement, he's very deliberate. That was his style. You dealt with it. I dealt with it at a high level. I know Frank really well. But I'm glad. You know what's good, Sean? That he's back. You know that he's back in the fold at Nebraska because it was ugly for a while. You know, but he was at the spring game a couple years ago. And now he'll be back for this.
What I learned about Frank too is he never got into coaching for the money.
No,
you know, when he started out at Holy Name as a
Omaha Holy Name, yes,
Omaha Holy Name as a 23-year-old head coach,
yep,
and then was the head coach of Lincoln Southeast, I believe, by the age of 25.
So he's young,
yeah. And won multiple state titles there. I mean, he taught driver's ed for years, he ran a painting crew. He painted houses in the summers. I mean, he was just a grinder, a guy that
now,
worked.
Yeah, and now he's back in Lincoln.
And he's back here where I think he feels like this is his home. And
right.
For 20 years, it'd be really hard to come back here.
Yeah, and, it's easy now.
You know, I think Bo Pelini probably feels the same way. Like, he loved Lincoln. Has a lot of his closest friends probably still in Lincoln to this day. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to come back for him. And maybe someday he'll
How about that. Frost? Do you think he'll live here?
Doubtful.
Well, maybe when he's 60 or 70 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's tough.
I mean, Frank's in his 80s, you know. Maybe Frosty when he's 80.
But then on the flip side, like basketball coaches that get fired, like, I mean, Tim Miles was back this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, Doc Sadler. I mean, these guys, the basketball.
A little different though, right?
Yeah, the culture of the basketball coach getting, like, those guys.
The magnitude's not near.
Just totally different dynamics. But yeah, Frank, congratulations to Coach Schultz.
Thank you for those facts, Sean. Good job.
All right. Well, let's get into headline number 4. But before we do that, Husker Headlines brought to you by Chubbies. Great, great shorts, bathing suits. They've got the new NFL shirts out as well. Sipple, you see him rocking the Chubbies Raiders shirt.
Love the Raiders shirt.
Give him a little hat tip. But they've got the end of the summer sale going on right now. Get up to 65% off at Chubbies. And, you know, the swimsuits, the shorts, the shirts, they've got all the comfortable gear that you're going to want to wear. Whether it's just out casually or at the pool or wherever you're heading. And we've got a great deal with Chubbies right now. Take advantage of the special with Husker Online for a limited time. Our viewers will get $20 off your full purchase price with the order of, with the promo code of Husker at chubbiesshorts.com. Again, that's chubbiesshorts.com. That's code Husker at chubbiesshorts.com. That includes the NFL Chubbies collection as part of that promo. So support our show, tell them that we sent you, and stand out in the crowd and level up your game day wardrobe with Chubbies. Let's get into headline number 4. Let's talk Big Ten games, Sipple, as we'll get the opening slate of the Big Ten conference schedule this weekend.
The slate.
Lots to look at here as we go through the weekend, but you'll get some Friday action. USC comes back on Friday night.
Short term.
And they got to play Fresno State, which, you know, they got a former North Dakota State guy coaching now Fresno.
Yeah, I mean, that's not easy duty for Lincoln Riley and his staff.
A lot of Nebraskans on Fresno State.
Sure, really?
There's like 6 or 7, yeah.
Really?
Because they got the North Dakota State tie there now, so he recruited a lot of kids there. A couple Millard South kids are on that team.
Okay.
Elkhorn South kid.
Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting with the Fresno State thing, but that game gets my attention. Also, the crowd. Like, so it's a Friday night, not a noon game on a Saturday. Will it look any better there in that
stadium? What do you think?
I hope so. Because they
do you have a feel for LA?
Yeah, they took a beating in that game, that crowd, though.
A national pundit beating. A local. I mean, we kind of, you would just wonder if that's sort of a commentary on where people think Lincoln Riley's program is out there.
I was listening to Petros. How do you say his Papa?
I got you on channel 82.
Well, no, Petros.
Oh, I don't know.
He's on 570 in LA. But
okay, what'd he say?
You know, he's a former Trojan.
Right.
So he said the thing is that the people of LA, the Trojans, don't really have a good connection to Lincoln Riley. He's not really inviting, not like much of a personality, just kind of robotic. And so like, there's not like a love for Lincoln Riley. We're like Pete Carroll when he was rolling. I mean, people, he was a beloved.
Well, he's a beloved figure. You go back over the years, like John Robinson was a guy that people wrapped their arms around. John McKay was a guy. Do you remember John McKay by any chance?
Oh yeah.
Cigar smoking guy. Coach. Yeah. He had a personality. Big personality. I think it was easier to wrap for those Trojan fans to wrap their arms around guys like that. There's complications to this discussion, and one was the heat. It was 98 at kickoff, felt like 104, and weird humidity out there.
And no shade.
Yeah, no shade. They're not used to the humidity. You don't, but that I've heard national pundits talk about that all week. Like, what? Heat? I mean, it's hot everywhere.
It's a different culture out there, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I mean,
what do you mean? I got you. Yeah, it is a different culture. It's different. There's a lot going on. I hate to apologize, Sean. That's a blue blood.
Yeah, Southern Cal, though, like, it's an extremely hard school to get into.
What I'm saying is I hate to apologize for the program. It's a blue blood program. It's sort of unacceptable to have a crowd like that.
So we'll see what that looks like for Lincoln Riley. But another thing about him, the media don't really like him that much. Like, you know, if you say or do something that they don't like, I mean, behind the scenes, I guess you get threatened with your access and things. So it's an interesting picture there, but they're so all in financially with Lincoln Riley. It is what it is. Other games, we'll get the game tonight, Minnesota Thursday night game. That's always their deal. They like to play Thursday nights. Rutgers also opens up here on Thursday night. Illinois will open up here as well.
8 p.m. on BTN.
So we'll get a bunch of these Thursday night games.
Are you going to watch that?
I'm interested with Illinois because I do think it's a rebound, or it's a rebuild year for them in a lot of ways.
Rebuild, not rebound.
Rebuild year, but they've had great success there. So what will that look like with a new quarterback, a new O-line? The receivers have been a little...
new defense, Sean.
3-3-5 defense for Brett Bielema. Where he is going to a 3-3-5 and Nebraska is going out of the 3-3-5.
You know why? You remember what he said? It's interesting. He said it's hard to pay linemen. You got to, in a 3-3-5, you're paying fewer. It's hard to pay a bunch of bigs. So that's part of the reason you go to a 3-3-5, and at least in Bielema's mind.
Now, Indiana State, Purdue, big spread there. But how about Toledo, who's one of the better programs in the MAC, at Michigan State on Friday night? That's only a 10-point line.
Probably something we should be required to watch.
Well, because Nebraska will be playing out there week 4.
Thank you.
And you'll get a look at, I mean, that's kind of a tough non-conference schedule for Pat Fitzgerald. You're basically playing the best MAC team and Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's real.
I mean, so
you'll find out a little bit.
I mean, they could lose that game.
We need to watch that.
That's a FS1 game. I'm gonna be at a high school football game Friday, so I'm gonna miss that probably, but I'll watch it. I'll watch it on my phone.
I'm gonna watch it in Greg's garage.
You get North Texas, Indiana. That's the big noon game, and it's not an attractive matchup. I just think Fox wants Indiana. They want to have the Kirk Cignetti show. There's not a lot of good week 1 matchups either.
It's not a great slate.
Like Ohio State's opening on the BTN.
Wow.
Because the BTN gets one non-conference game per team and one conference game per team. So this is the other than that, Ohio State gets 10 network games a year, and this one will be one of their BTN games. Boise State at Oregon and I know you're interested in the offensive line play of Oregon.
Well, I'd really watch that. It's unsettled. I mean, they're going in without a defined top five. I mean, that gets your attention, right? I think Oregon is loaded up. I think they feel very good about their roster, except you wonder a little. I do. I mean, like, for instance, their D-line, Sean, like an NFL D-line. Offensive line, a little, like, I'd watch that pretty close. And you know who Boise State's defensive coordinator is?
Eric Chenander. And then you have Marshall at Penn State, 2:30 game on FS1. That's a 23.5-point line. Iowa, that's a huge number. 31.5 over Northern Illinois. I say that's seems a huge high number because Iowa might have like the most questionable quarterback play in the whole Big Ten. And for them to win by 31.5 points, they're going to have to create some big plays.
It strikes me as really high, really high.
I would take Iowa, obviously, to win, but I don't like that 31.5 number. That's unless Northern Illinois is just completely falling off.
I wonder if they've just fallen off bad.
Well, Thomas Hammack now is a Baltimore Ravens running backs coach. So he left.
Oh, I did it. Sorry.
So, you know, they're not quite as good as they have been, but still, that's a big number for Iowa.
Huge.
Without knowing what they are. Mm-hmm. Michigan, 27.5 over Western Michigan. Maryland, 45.5 over Hampton. Maryland always plays one of those like non-conference games where it's like Hampton or just mm-hmm. some team that like they have no business playing.
Mm-hmm. Alcorn State, something like that.
And it will be like 70-3.
And you will learn nothing.
Now, the game that we're going to learn something on is South Dakota State, our boy Dan Jackson at Northwestern. I'm calling my shot that you will see a lot of Jacks fans in Chicago.
Okay. That's not at the new stadium. No, though.
The new stadium's not open until later.
October 1.
And so
first week of
this October. Is at the little pop-up stadium.
Yeah. So you think that game could be close?
It's 13.5 point spread. I think Northwestern will win, but I think South Dakota State will cover. I think that game will be within a touchdown.
Ooh. It's a scary kind of opener for Northwestern.
You know who the quarterback is for Dan Jackson?
I don't.
Former Nebraska baseball player Chase Mason.
I'll be damned.
And he wanted to play quarterback here and baseball. He's a big-time recruit for baseball.
Okay.
And he is the quarterback at South Dakota State now. And then Rezac from Westside is, I believe, the backup.
Okay.
But yeah, Chase Mason, when I was in Sioux Falls this summer, his dad is the general manager of the Big Shields there. And
wow,
Dan Jackson told me to try to find him in there. But I didn't find him. But interesting, useless knowledge there.
That's good. No, that's anything.
But yeah, former Husker Chase Mason. And he was going to be a major baseball recruit, quit here to go play football.
That's a good enough slate for me to be interested.
UCLA Cal.
Good game.
New coach at UCLA. Nico's back. Cal has a new coach as well, Tosh Lapoy.
Almost like a toss-up game, Sean. Toss-up game.
Tosh Lapoy, one of the close personal friends of Dave Tollefson on the Nebraska staff.
It seems like you know a lot more than me, which concerns me, but yes.
Washington State at Washington, the Apple Cups on Sunday.
Good game.
Wisconsin.
But traditional game.
Do you like Notre Dame by 20.5 over Wisconsin, that number?
Notre Dame loaded. Notre Dame with, like we talk about, Ohio offensive line. Notre Dame has probably the favorite to win the Joe Moore Award as the best offensive line in the country with 9 returning starters on defense. Just those two elements and a returning quarterback. Just think about those two elements. A powerful offensive line with 9 guys back on defense. Yeah, I bet they win by 21.
Yeah, like Notre Dame's only question is figuring out the left guard. And they have like 2 good guys to figure it out with. It's not like they're...
I could see them winning by 21. Yeah.
Which for Luke Fickell, if they get blown out in Lambeau.
It's a danger. I think you know why it's a dangerous game. I mean, if they get beat up, playing a team like Notre Dame in an opener is dangerous.
You know what this game is? It's the Under Armour Bowl, though. These are like Under Armour's 2 of their best brands left. Everyone's left Under Armour, but Wisconsin and Notre Dame are 2 of the last good ones left of Under Armour.
So really, hey, like Sean, Michigan State playing Toledo, that's telltale. That's a game if you're a Nebraska fan you should want to watch. I would say this game, you don't play Wisconsin, but it's telltale. Like you want to measure Wisconsin's program right away, you can do it.
South Dakota State, Northwestern, too. I mean,
telltale.
That is not a game you want to open up with.
No, tough. Those are good games. Now, next week, it really cranks up because Texas and Ohio State play and Oklahoma and Michigan play. So next week, it really cranks up. But this is pretty good. Like I keep hearing people say it's soft, but there's enough there to keep me interested.
All right, let's get to headline 5. But before we do that, Husker Line Headlines brought to you by Marsmen. And
oh, boy.
You know, like you're getting older, Sip, right? We're both getting older. Yes. I'm a little younger than you.
Yes.
But you get those workouts in.
Yep.
You don't always have that same push. Nope. You like to say play for the tie.
Yeah, I don't like playing for the tie. You don't have to.
You don't have the same energy. Well, Marsmen is kind of the cheat code as we get older. It's going to give you the extra testosterone, that extra energy burst.
Okay.
To kind of get through the day-to-day. It's really simple. You take 5 of the vitamins every day in the morning, and over a 90-day period, you're going to start to see a lot of results with Marsmen. And if you want to try it out, we got a great deal. You're going to get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts. Just go to the website, mengotomars.com. Mengotomars.com. And you will get 50% off and free shipping with that. And tell them again that you heard about it from Husker Online. Thanks again to Marsmen for sponsoring us here on Husker Online Headlines. Okay, let's go into headline number 5, odds and ends. Be a busy morning with black shirts and single digits. We're going to be kind of waiting on that. My question to you, over under 11 black shirts?
Over. A couple over.
You think 13 even without?
Good point.
A couple of the things that we know.
Right. Yeah. Awkward, but God,
they may not. I mean, and who knows? I mean, I assume they're gonna I don't know how they're gonna release it.
Do you even think? Do we know they're gonna release it?
They'll probably release it during the first quarter.
No, I mean, I think it's for sure. Obviously, we're gonna know single digits. I don't know that we'll know black shirts. They may just keep that in house.
It's amazing. They've worn them all week in practice. I'm pretty sure, and it stayed airtight.
Airtight. I don't like. How would they? I don't think they'll announce it. I really don't.
And then the single digits,
we'll see.
We know there's going to be more than 10. So is it like 12?
Yeah.
13, 11?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I'd say something like 12.
12-ish, yeah. I think there are some guys on both sides of the ball, though, that fall, like Donovan Jones, Andrew Marshall. I mean, those are two guys I would be stunned if they're not wearing one. Like, does a Riley Van Poppel just get to keep his forever, even though
he's on the two line now.
Yeah, does that stay with you?
That's something to watch.
You know, those are, yeah, a couple things to watch. All right, other odds and ends. Traffic. And I just dealt with it coming back from Fremont.
Traffic.
I can confirm the 180 downtown exit is closed. And I actually had to do like a U-turn around by kind of Sand Hills. Like when you're going off 180, you get on that 34, and I did a U-turn to come back downtown. But
how did you get in then?
So I got off from Fremont. I did go 180, but I had to go 34 on the Purple Heart Highway.
Okay.
And then do like a U-turn, a legal U-turn at the Arrow. And then I came downtown that way and turned on R. But there's a lot of construction, a lot of things. They're telling people prepare for at least 30 extra minutes.
Yeah. If I was coming from Omaha, I'd leave an hour earlier.
Yeah. Don't think you can leave Omaha at 9 and be safe. I would get here as early as you can.
I think people will be taken aback that don't know what we're talking about. They'll be like, all right, Sipple and Sean. Yeah, they weren't overblowing this.
Well, O Street is completely torn up from 12th to 17th. Right. Like, it's dirt. I mean,
It's amazing.
O Street might have looked better when Nebraska was called the Bug Eaters than it does right now.
Right. So, wow. It's a wow.
And we're working on setting up a canoe business to get people down the Salt Creek.
You got to have a landing spot if you're going to do that. And you got to have a nice walkway up the grass for the elderly like me. You know,
an airboat on the Salt Creek.
It's got to be sort of fascinating. Now, the question is that's relevant is it a late arriving crowd because of this? Are we going to be sitting there at 11 a.m. going, wow?
I know. I'm going to just get down here early.
Yeah. I just wonder if we're going to be going, wow. A lot of empties, but then mid first quarter. Okay. This looks good.
Been to enough 11 a.m. games, like down on the Haymarket at 8 o'clock, it's dead.
Dead.
And then 9 o'clock, it picks up. Yeah. 10 o'clock. It's just
mayhem.
It's Saturday. You don't want to get up that early and come down here, but you have to for a game. And the heat is going to be a factor as well. You're going to have full sun over the stadium at points and not as much shade. Because an 11 a.m. game just brings that kind of heat with it.
Mm-hmm. 11 a.m. game be over at about what time? 2:30.
2 o'clock, 2:30. Yeah.
2:30. And then we'll do a show, a
probably post-game, 4:30.
Post-game show at 4:30.
And I bet we'll go till 6, depending on how the super chats flow. And then finally, how about Husker Volleyball in Sioux Falls this Wednesday? Set another venue record. I believe they had over 5,100 fans.
Dominant performance. Andy Jackson, a little ankle tweak. You watch that, you know.
Danny Busboom was asked about that in her presser, and she just said, she's fine. She'll be okay.
Short. She's very short. That was interesting.
I'm guessing like at Louisville, you weren't like pressed as hard on some of these things.
Oh, now they're covered like they're the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
seriously.
It's like a paparazzi that covers them in like the all access interviews that you see and just how things are done. I mean, they're a big draw.
Yeah. When you break it down a little bit, DBK, like that's a tough, you got to manage that part of it, the media part, what you call a paparazzi part. That's, it all falls under the umbrella of managing the number one team in the country.
I mean, think about the tour they've been on. Cowboys Stadium in Dallas, Las Vegas T-Mobile Arena, Brookings, South Dakota.
And now
they're heading to Chicago to Wintrust Arena Friday, which I'm sure they'll sell that out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go to Wrigley Field on Sunday, which I would assume is going to be close to a sellout.
Yeah. And they're watching that. You know, they play with an indoor ball outdoors. I was talking to Jalen Reyes. He was at the radio station the other day. It's not temperature. It's wind that they're obviously. And it's not supposed to be. I was looking at it. It's not supposed to be really windy.
I'm going on Sunday.
Why did I not know? Did I know that?
Well, I'm flying Sunday morning, coming home Monday morning.
Really?
With my family.
Okay.
So we'll be there. I'll give you a full report.
Okay. I would like a full report. I do. I would. Just text me. You don't have to call.
I was just thinking about this. Has there ever been a women's sports team ever in the history that has done like a tour like what's going on? Right. I can't believe.
I mean, you would think maybe if there was, it'd be UConn basketball.
But not in a bang, 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 bang.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, this is like a rock tour.
Yeah, I wonder what Gino would say. What about Tennessee women's basketball when they were
Cowboy Stadium, Wrigley Field, Las Vegas. Yeah.
I don't think so.
And then
so.
You just go to Brookings, South Dakota. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so.
It's crazy.
Like, no volleyball team has.
It really is like remarkable.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be fascinated what the TV rating is for the Wrigley Field match.
God, I'm going to be fascinated by your report.
We're going.
You got to absorb it. Tuesday when we do a show, I want a full – we got to do a segment on it, okay?
Yeah, it's hard to surprise my wife and daughters and – you know, we didn't get to go on a vacation this summer because of our swim schedule. So
Kit's swim schedule. Not your swim.
No one wants to see me in a Speedo.
Yes. Goes without saying, but yes.
That's a little too descriptive.
Yes, it was.
But surprised my wife in July and daughters that we're going on this deal. And because of our schedule with the press conferences, we can only stay one night.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to be back Monday, do you?
Yeah, I'm going to get back to do Channel 7 stuff. But yeah, unless there's some flight trouble, I'll be back. I'll be back.
You think Rule will have a press conference Monday?
They usually do.
Yeah.
I've never not worked a Labor Day Monday in the history of my job. Have you?
I can't. No, definitely not.
Now, they used to do them on Tuesdays back in the day, and we might have got Monday off back then.
Yeah, we'll be working Monday. I always kind of treat it just like it's Monday, not Labor Day.
All right, Monday. Well. Happy game week.
Oh, my God.
I'll see you in the press box. Reminder, Huskerline post game live to follow Ohio. If you've not joined in the fun, I promise you, you'll get a good laugh and a good breakdown of the game. For Steve Sipple, I'm Sean Callahan. Thanks for joining us here on Husker Online Headlines.